He that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Misery. All in this valley of tears, when we look around about us in the world, it is all misery. It is corruption. It is vice, immorality. That is all that we see when we look around in the world. For instance, when we look into the third world countries, we see the great poverty in which they live. We see the squalor that they live in. Their children cannot even keep healthy because there is no food to eat. The parents are so sick, they cannot take care of the children. It is all misery. Then we have the murders, the serial killers in the country. Then, of course, the great disaster of 9/11. Then there are the natural disasters. We have the great tsunamis and the floods which have taken place in the last few years. And above all these, perhaps the one which we all remember most is Hurricane Katrina. All of the deaths that that hurricane caused, all of the loss of homes, the loss of money, the loss of family and friends, all of that misery. Then there is the immorality in the public schools, the immorality which the teachers show to the children, and which the children pick up and in turn give to their children in later life. In fact, the world is so corrupt that you cannot even go into a grocery store in the checkout line without there being some occasion of sin. Indeed, an occasion to grievous sin. And then lastly, and perhaps the most trying misery there is the state of present-day Holy Mother Church. What great straits she is in, how much she is suffering. You see how the church has undergone all of these great persecutions. The Arian persecution in the early church. Then there's the persecution of Martin Luther, in the 1500s. Yet the church has suffered through all of those things, and yet she has survived. But now again, her persecutors rise up against her. But this time, they come from within. They come from within the very church. Our churches, our chapels have been taken. Our cathedrals have been taken over by heretics, by modernists. Our convents and seminaries have been emptied out. Where they used to flourish, and there used to be hundreds of nuns, hundreds of seminarians at one time. Now, we probably do not even reach 100 seminarians in the whole world. And that thanks to Vatican II. And this is the whole danger, this is the whole problem of Vatican II, that this new religion is thought by many, by the world, to be Catholic, whereas it is not. It is not Catholic. They say that they teach truth, but if you examine into their doctrines, you can take it into two different ways. Each doctrine has two meanings, one good, one bad. And these priests, they are supposed to be shepherds, the shepherds of souls. And you cannot be a good shepherd if you cannot even teach the truth. And lastly, what is dangerous about this and why they think Vatican II is Catholic is because the men who call themselves popes, they look like popes. They walk around St. Peter's Basilica. They walk around the Vatican in a white cassock, just as an ordinary pope. Yet, they are not popes. Why? Because they teach false doctrine. And as we all know from catechism, heresy puts us outside of the Catholic Church. And so we see Benedict XVI. He appears to be pope, and many souls are deceived into believing this. Yet he is not, for he teaches the same thing concerning the Eucharist that Martin Luther himself taught. That is, he does not believe in transubstantiation. So why? Why all of this corruption? Why all of this misery in the world? Well, why? The answer is this. It is the will of God. It is divine providence. It is the work of providence. And we know that God only permits evil for a greater good. It is for His own glory, for the salvation of our souls. Perhaps we may never feel that we receive any good from these evils here on earth, but all the better, because then we will receive a reward in heaven. Our Lord says in sacred scripture, "My ways are not your ways." And we must always remember that. We must not forget, and as often as we truly do forget, that God knows all things from all eternity. There was never a single instant in which God did not know everything, in which He did not know us, that He did not know our names. He knows everything about us. From all eternity, God knows you. From all eternity, God knows your likes, your dislikes, what causes you suffering, what causes you happiness. God knows from all eternity exactly what you need in order to arrive at your eternal home, there with all of the saints and angels to adore the beatific vision. So when some suffering happens, be it in the world, or whether it be a suffering which is for you in particular, remember that God knows about it. Remember that God knows exactly what you need in order to get to heaven. And so He has sent you this suffering. And now, when we look into the lives of the saints, we read their stories. How amazed are we when we read all of the sufferings which they endured, the sufferings of their times. And we ask ourselves, how could they endure it? For instance, you read the lives of the martyrs of the Colosseum, how greatly they suffered. In fact, some of them, I believe, would lay on the ground dying from their wounds for 3 days before they would die. What suffering they must have endured. And yet, they did it all with patience and with love. Then you see the sufferings of the Curé of Ars. You might not see his great sufferings like the martyrs, but remember, he spent 16 to 18 hours a day in the confessional, hearing confessions, listening to the great sins of his penitents. What cross that must have been, as wonderful as it is. 16 to 18 hours, imagine that. Imagine working at your job for 16 to 18 hours a day. You would probably go nuts. But the curé persevered in his duty in the confessional for 16 hours. And from there he went to teach catechism to the children. And he still, I remind you, had the divine office to say, which takes about an hour and a half to say. And then he would give himself some sleep. He is human after all, so he needed some rest to go on the next day with his duties. But even that little rest that he would give himself was interrupted by the devil. So some nights he would go without sleep. What a cross! And yet he bore it all with patience. Now, how is it that they endured all of these things so well? Well, the answer is found in that wonderful prayer, the prayer we should all say every day, the Our Father. We know that petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That was the prayer of the saints. That is the prayer that made these men ordinary, just like you and me. That is what made these men and women into saints of God. And they imitated our Lord in His agony in the garden. Yes, our Lord said, "Let this chalice pass away from me." But then, what made His prayer so heroic was that He said, Yet not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. That is also the prayer of the saints. Then they also imitated Our Lady, who, at the Annunciation, as we all know, when the Archangel Gabriel said that she was to be the Mother of God, her response was, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." In other words, that meant, "Thy will be done, O Lord." In fact, Saint Gerard, a great saint, he used to say, "The will of God, the will of God, all sanctity is there." And over the door of his bedroom, his cell, he wrote, "Here the will of God is done." And that is what made him a saint. And that is what will make us a saint. We must imitate our Lord, who said, "Not my will, but thine be done." We must imitate Our Lady and the saints who said the same. But now this is the question, the great question that we all have. How do we recognize the will of God? Well, there are a few ways. The first way is that we can look at it this way. Whatever happens to us, good, bad, or indifferent, whether it pleases us or makes us sad, all that happens is the will of Almighty God. Whether it be poverty, loss of friends, sickness, weariness, bad weather, too much work, or loss of consolation when we say our prayers, all this is the will of God for us, and we must learn to accept it. Not my will, but thine be done. The second way that we can know the will of God is in the commandments of God and in the commandments of the church. Almighty God called Moses unto the top of Mount Sinai, there to give him the commandments which will lead us all to eternal life, there to give us the will of God. And if we obey these commandments faithfully and perfectly, we will enter the kingdom of heaven. And if we do not obey them, we are not doing the will of God, and we will perish miserably for all eternity. And the third way, and one which is much more simple, is we can recognize the will of God by the commands of our superiors, as long as they command things which are not certainly sinful. So children, whenever your parents or your teachers tell you to do something, do it. When they tell you clean your room, when they tell you do your homework, or yes, even when they say go outside and play, that is the will of God. That is what you must do to please God. And that is what you will do to get to heaven. Now, adults, you too have superiors. We all have to work. We all have a job. Listen to what your employer tells you to do. Do whatever he tells you to do in order to get the job done. That is the will of God for you all. And then for everybody, listen to what your priests tell you. Listen to what your pastors tell you, whether from the pulpit, in the confessional, in spiritual direction. That is the will of God. For our Lord himself said, and we can apply these words to the priest, "He who hears you hears me, and he who despises you despises me." That is, they who listen to what their priest says are listening to what God is saying through the priest. And they who disobey the priest, they disobey God also. It is by obedience that we will know the will of God. And by humbly submitting ourselves to this holy will of God, we are all certain to one day, after death, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, there to look at the beatific vision along with Our Lady, along with all of the saints and angels. Is not this the whole reason that we were created? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.